today as we come to the table.
There was some team that was going for a championship and someone died. And the quarterback made some comment about, you know what? I really now see my perspective. What is important is not the championship. What is important is people and those that we love. And he really grasped it because that's what is important and that's what death brings to reality. And that is what matters is each other, not who dies with the most toys. You know, if you die with the most toys, you still die. And the difference is with the believer and the unbeliever, you know, it's been said that you can't take it with you, but as a believer, you can send it on ahead. And so that's why for those of us that serve the Lord, we serve him, storing up eternal riches, and we're getting prepared for our new body that's in heaven.
Afraid of dying? Does the thought of death bring anxiety? For many of us, the thought of dying can be a scary one. But as Pastor Mark talks about in today's message, as Christians, we have a promise that can give us peace in the face of death. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. When you leave this earth, you won't experience death. But instead, you'll be with the Lord forever. Death is not something to fear, but rather something to look forward to. You can have peace knowing that you'll spend eternity in the presence of our Savior. Jesus has already defeated death on our behalf. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 23 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Up to Genesis chapter 23 as we continue on through the book of Genesis. And today we look at dealing with death. Now, this is not exactly a subject that we enjoy to talk about. And it's interesting, after the last service, somebody said something to me like, wow, that's kind of a heavy topic. I hope that I don't leave you heavy today. Because again, the whole idea is that in Jesus Christ, we never die. The Lord said this, you will never die, those of you that believe in me. Certainly we leave these old bodies behind, but we move to the new one. However, we need to also deal with death. The reality is we live in a world where because sin has entered into the world, we now die. And because of that, we have to deal with it. I think it's important for us as the body of Christ to know how to deal with it when it happens to us personally, but also to know how to deal with it when it happens in others' lives that we might be able to minister to them. So we'll see that today as we look at Abraham and the death of Sarah. Father, how we thank you, Lord, that your word equips us for every area of life. And Lord, although there is no real preparation for the deep emotional pain we can feel at the loss of a loved one, God, your word not only gives us instruction in this area, but God, your spirit gives us comfort. And that is where we find our hope is in you. And I pray, Lord, as we look at Abraham and the death of Sarah and this episode in Abraham's life, Lord, that we would see the hope that Abraham has, the strength and the courage, the trust in you, and that you would give us that same trust, knowing that you are in control, that you know all things, Lord, that nothing catches you off guard or by surprise, and you have a plan in the midst of it. Lord, we look to you as our strength, and I pray any here today that may be experiencing a family death, a recent death, or Lord, those that maybe have one coming up down the road that they don't know about, and certainly, Lord, all of us in this room will one day most certainly have those we love from time to time that die. It's inevitable. Lord, I pray you'd prepare us. Help us to be mentally prepared. Help us to be spiritually prepared. And Lord, during that time, just to cling to you with all that we have. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the strength and encouragement that you give in times like we're going to see Abraham facing today. And we give you glory and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, this is not the most popular subject to deal with. I mean, how many of us want to sit around talking about death? However, it is a subject that we need to realize as a reality in the world that we live. Statistics tell us that one out of every one dies. And that means that everyone in this room one day is going to die. This body will stop and you will stand before God. But that also means that those that you love will one day die and they will stand before God. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, although I use the word die, if you're a believer in Christ, Jesus said you will never die. He said, those who believe in me will never die. Now, that doesn't mean these bodies will never stop. It simply means that God, in some supernatural way, transfers our spirit, which this is just the case for our spirit. He transfers it from here into the new one that he has for us with him, and we never experience that crossover of death. Now, that's an exciting thing, to think that we're all going to one day be transferred over but never experience that. That is, if we are in Christ. As I said, this is something that we can look to without fear, and we look to with hope as a believer. But for the unbeliever, there is great fear. And death is one of the things, if anything gets people serious very quickly, it's the subject of death. I remember a few years back, there was some team that was going for a championship, and someone died. And the quarterback made some comment about, you know what? I really now see my perspective. What is important is not the championship. What is important is people and those that we love. And he really grasped it, because that's what is important, and that's what death brings to reality, and that is what matters is each other, not who dies with the most toys. You know, if you die with the most toys, you still die. And the difference is with the believer and the unbeliever, you know, it's been said that you can't take it with you, but as a believer, you can send it on ahead. And so that's why for those of us that serve the Lord, we serve him, storing up eternal riches, and we're getting prepared for our new body that's in heaven. So again, it's a subject that's not that pleasant, but it's a subject we need to understand and talk about and be honest as believers and say, all right, Mark, how do I deal with this mentally? How do I deal with this emotionally? What do I do as far as preparing myself that one day I'll stand before the Lord? That's easy in simply receiving Christ. But then what do I do about those around me that are going through this time, and how do I best minister to them? And I hope that by the time we're done today, we'll see that. Again, as I said, all of us will have to deal with this at one time or another. And as we see Abraham now coming to the time in his life when he has to deal with it, we're going to see a lot of things that we need to take note of in our own life. It's interesting, when we see this passage with Abraham and Sarah, I believe that it is a good instruction on how we're to deal with those that we love that die in our life. And let me just say this. The relationship between a husband and a wife, like Abraham and Sarah, has the potential of being the deepest relationship known to mankind. Now, certainly we love our children, and we have a deep relationship with our children. But there's something about our spouse. There's a level of relationship that has been developed over all the years that is even, if possible, deeper than that. Again, if the marriage is good, I know there are bad marriages, and so in every case, that's not the situation. But in good marriages or in godly marriages, it's extremely deep and it's extremely intimate. And you can imagine with Abraham and Sarah, they had quite the life together. We know they started out in Ur of the Chaldees. And again, no doubt we're married at a very young age. Why do I say that? Because culturally, they did that. Typically, you were married in your teens in that day. Now, today, most people get married in their 20s and even older than that in the day that we live in. But back then, they would get married in the teens, and there were different reasons for that. But the bottom line is they started out probably as teenagers together, enjoying life together, seeing, you know, what life would bring. And then again, we know God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and they traveled over to the land of Canaan, where we know they spent another 60 years together. Now, you talk about long relationships. They had them back in that day and in that culture. And you can imagine over 60 years, well, that was only in Canaan, however many years they spent before they left, the years they had together as husband and wife, they had developed deep relationships, long and deep relationships. And again, this was not an easy time for Abraham. This would be very difficult because he had developed such a deep relationship. They had become such companions and depended on each other. But note this, God knew this day was coming for Abraham. And God not only was prepared before Abraham got there, God prepared Abraham and gave Abraham the strength and the grace to see it through. And that's something we need to realize. It's important that we understand when it comes to death of a loved one, God is not taken by surprise. And because of that, God not only has prepared for it, God will give us grace to endure. But note this, this is key. Not only grace to endure, God has a plan for our future beyond that. Note that. And again, we're going to see that today, and especially when we get to the end and we look at the things that we go through, the different cycles, if you will, that people go through when they experience a death. I think one of the main ones is we oftentimes feel there's no reason to carry on. There's no reason to keep going. The one that I loved is gone. It might as well be over with, and I might as well go on as well. And let me say that I understand that emotion and that feeling with someone you love. I think that it would be very natural to desire to be with them and say, hey, why should I carry on? But here's what we have to remember as believers. Until God takes us home, he has a plan and a future for our life. You see, we are soldiers of Christ. And he may take a loved one home, but until we join that loved one, God has a purpose for us right here. When Israel was taken over by Babylon, they lost husbands, they lost wives, they lost children. They lost many that they loved. And God said, I know they're hurting. I know they're in pain, but I'm not done with the nation of Israel yet. The reason they're here is I have a plan for their life. Jeremiah, I want you to go to them and tell them about the plan. And in Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord said this through the prophet, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Note this, to give you a future and a hope. And again, oftentimes it's a hopeless feeling of the future when someone you love dies. God will take you beyond that. God will not only restore the hope in your life, God will show you that he has a future and a hope for your life. You know, even in certain situations, God does more dramatic things after a loved one has died than he did before, and even uses people in greater ways after that takes place. I think of Elizabeth Elliot. Certainly she was a believer. Certainly she was serving the Lord, but it wasn't until her husband, Jim Elliot, was killed in that jungle by those natives that God really put his hand upon that woman and raised her up in worldwide ministry, and she's still around today. The bottom line is we don't need to look at death as the end and the reason to give up. Sometimes it is the diving board to the rest of what God has for us. And so God says, as long as we're here, God has a plan, he has a future, and he has a hope. And that doesn't mean it doesn't take time to heal. That doesn't mean there's not pain. That doesn't mean there's not anguish. All of these we'll see Abraham went through, and we will go through them as well. But we need to understand that beyond that, God has a purpose. You know, it's interesting. Abraham lived quite some time after Sarah died. And I think about how in the world could you ever begin to have any kind of normalcy of life after spending your entire life, that many years, with one person that you were so intimate with. Hey, Abraham not only went on, he was remarried and had a family. Now, I'm not saying that's the state of everyone that has a loved one that dies or that necessarily that's the goal. The point is, God had quite a bit of life still lined up for Abraham ahead of him. And we see that God used him in great ways even after that. And so again, that's what I hope we get from this today. The main thing is that when we come to that place in our life, and all of us will at some time or another, when a loved one dies, it's not the end. It's the time to continue on and realize God has a future and a plan beyond this. And that should be our focus. Now we see Abraham being directed that way by the Lord. Notice here in verse 1 of chapter 23, it says, Sarah lived 127 years, and these were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, there's a couple things to note here. Notice the Bible doesn't mention Sarah's age until she's dead. And I think those of us that are husbands would be wise to follow this same pattern. Now, I say that being silly. Again, but I think there's a reason for this here, seriously, about why God mentioned Sarah's age. You know, this is the only woman in Scripture that God mentioned her age when she died. And again, I believe there's a reason for that, and that was to show the honor that God bestowed on Sarah. God gave Sarah a long life, and God bestowed honor on Sarah. And why did God bestow honor on Sarah? Because Sarah bestowed honor on God. Now, because someone dies young, that does not mean that God did not love them or bestow honor on them. Let me be clear on that. Some of the most righteous men throughout history and righteous women of history have died at early ages. God is in control of when he calls us home and when he doesn't. But the point is, I believe God was pointing out the age that Sarah lived here to point out how Sarah had been used throughout her life and the honor that was due Sarah. If you will, this was almost as if a godly eulogy. So showing her honor. And why did God show her honor? Note this, it was due to her faithfulness to God as her Lord, but also the faithfulness to her husband, Abraham. How do we know that? Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, Sarah is held up throughout time as the example to all women that follow her. You want to be a godly wife? Treat your husband this way, even as Sarah treated her husband. And again, the instruction is for the husband in treating the wife as well, but Sarah's the one we're speaking of here. And so it was a position of honor. She was honored before God. She was honored before man. She was faithful before God, and she was faithful before man. And that is the place that any woman or man should want to be when they die. Now, again, I know that when I go to be with the Lord, that would hopefully be what I would be said, is that I was, you know, honoring to God and to man. And Sarah had that statement that could be made about her. It's even more interesting to see the fellowship that she had here with man and with God when she died, because when she died in Hebron, the Bible tells us. And again, what does Hebron mean? This is interesting. Literally, Hebron means fellowship. Note this, Sarah literally died in fellowship. What a beautiful testimony. My point, simply this. Guys, when it comes to the day that we leave these bodies and transfer to the next, will we be known as those who were in fellowship? That is, fellowship with God and fellowship with others, our spouse, our children, our friends. Guys, what's my point? My point is this. We don't know when we're going to go. And this is where sometimes it gets a little heavy. God knows when we're going to go. We don't need to walk around in fear. We don't need to be concerned. We leave that in God's hands. But here's the question. When we do go, we want to make sure that we're in fellowship with God and we're in fellowship with man. Are you in fellowship with God and man today? You need to ask yourself that. And if you're not in fellowship with God, you need to get it right with God today. And if you've fallen out of fellowship with a husband, a wife, a child, a family member, you need to do your best to seek to restore it. Now, I know sometimes there's nothing you can do. The Bible says, be at peace with all men whenever possible. And sometimes there are those that simply will not allow you to be at peace with them. You are not to blame for that. Your job is simply to go and try to make peace, and if they won't receive it, then you're right before God. But we do have a responsibility on our part to make that initial effort. And then whatever they decide after that, that's between them and the Lord. The bottom line is, we want to be known as those when we go that are in fellowship. And I know that I want to be known as one of those when I die that's in fellowship. You know, there's nothing sadder than someone dying and saying, you know what? They didn't get along. They were fighting at the end. There was separation between father and son or daughter and mother. There was division between husband and wife. And that's a sad legacy to leave. I know that happens sometimes. But we need to do our best while we're still alive that we're not one of those that is said about. And so Abraham again was in fellowship with God and man. Sarah again was in fellowship with God and man. And again, dying in this place that literally means fellowship. And notice it goes on and says, then Abraham stood up before the dead. And he spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a stranger, a rather sojourner among you. Give me property for a burial place among you that I may bury my dead. Now note this, there's a couple things to notice. There at the end of verse 2, notice it says that he came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. The first thing I want you to note here in verse 2 is there was mourning and weeping. And when it comes to death, we need to understand as believers, mourning and weeping is very normal. Mourning and weeping is very expected. And mourning and weeping is something that is given by God that we might have this emotional release and begin to heal. Now, I don't know what it is in our society and culture today that says, be strong, don't cry. God doesn't say that. Weeping is not a sign of weakness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when Lazarus died that Jesus wept. So weeping is not a sign of weakness. Weeping is a human emotion. And so we need to make sure that we allow that human emotion to operate, because when we do that, it opens up the door for the healing process. Note this, God never told us we shouldn't weep. He simply said that when we do, we should not sorrow as those who have no hope. You see, we're different from the world. They weep with no hope. We weep knowing, you know what? There's a tear right now, but as the Bible says, there's joy in the morning. And that is, this is gonna pass away. This is just temporary. And so we have to recognize that when it comes to death. Weeping is okay. We don't have to be strong and hold back the tears. Let God minister and to minister to your heart through that. But notice there in verse 3, it also says, after he was weeping and mourning, notice this, then Abraham stood up from before his dead. It literally means to arise. What is my point? Note this, believer. Yes, we're to weep. Yes, we're to mourn. But we need to follow the example of Abraham. After the weeping and mourning, it's time to rise up. Although we've been bent down with sorrow, we need to rise up, or literally the word means here, to arise, and notice he takes care of business. And what is the point? We weep and we mourn, but when the weeping and mourning is done, we stand up and move on. Again, this doesn't mean that there's not real mourning and weeping that lasts even for quite some time. This is not saying that we can't be real humans and we're to pretend nothing happened and I'm okay, don't worry about me. We need to be praying for each other and encouraging each other. And these things take time. It may take quite a bit of time to get over the loss of one that we love. But after the weeping is done, our eyes and our heart and our mind have got to be fixed on arising and moving on for what God has for our life from this point on, or it can overwhelm us. To remain in a state of mourning and weeping for too long will cause depression and will pull us down. And once we get beyond that normal time of mourning and weeping, we need to be able to say, all right, it's time to move forward. So the balance is, yes, we mourn and we weep. But then when the mourning and weeping time is done, we get up and we get going, because it's time to move on for what God has in the next season of our life. And again, I know this doesn't happen overnight. I realize that. And I certainly don't mean to present this in an insensitive way. But the reality is, if we allow ourselves to wallow in our sorrow, we're going to be destroyed emotionally and in any usefulness for the Lord. So again, we have to make sure, even as Abraham did, that we rise up and that we move forward. And so notice, after he arises, it's interesting to me, Abraham here says, I am a foreigner and a sojourner among you. Now, it's interesting here that he mentions he's a foreigner and a sojourner, because the Bible tells us God gave him all the land. If God gave Abraham all the land, why does Abraham refer to himself as a sojourner and a foreigner? Because he didn't have the land yet. And what's interesting, when you follow Abraham's life, while he was in his earthly body, he never received the land or the promise of God. Neither did Sarah. And you might say, but wait a minute, did God break his promise? I thought God promised him the land. No, God promised him the land, but we need to understand the promises of God don't always come when we expect them. And Abraham's particular promise is not even going to be granted and has not even been granted yet until Jesus Christ comes back in the second coming. Now think about this. The Bible says the Lord's going to come back in the second coming. He's going to establish his earthly kingdom here on the earth for 1,000 years, and we will rule and reign with him. Guess who will also be there? Abraham. You're going to see Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Elisha. All these guys are going to be there with us, Jesus said, gathering in this millennial kingdom, and that is when Abraham will be awarded the land that God promised him. Is that not neat? Now, here's what's neat to me, and it never hit me until the teaching this morning, actually, in the midst of it. But that is, we're going to see Abraham receive the promise of God. We'll be there with him. That's exciting. And yet Abraham died without receiving that promise. God is faithful to his promises, you can be sure. But again, they don't always happen in our timing or when we think they're going to happen. And Abraham here realizing, hey, I'm a foreigner. I'm just a sojourner. This is not my land yet, but one day it will be. Remember when Jesus was being tried, they said to him, you know, are you a king? You know, he said, look, he said, I'm not a king of this earth right now. He said, if I was, my servants would fight. But one day he will be. And when he comes back to rule and reign, we will rule and reign with him. So this is exciting. This is also interesting in light of those who say there is no literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. Because if there is not a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ, God cannot fulfill his promise to Abraham. And I can assure you this, although you know it, God is faithful to his promises. And so Abraham says, I am a foreigner and a sojourner. And notice verse 5, and the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying, well, hear us, my lord, you're a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Now notice this, first of all, they recognize he's a mighty prince among them. And because of that, they say, you know what? Pick which, you know, one you want. We'll give you a burial place among ours. Not that he would be given theirs to keep, but given one that he could use. And what do you mean? Well, that might sound morbid in the way we do the funerals today, because we have one grave and we bury them in that. Not so back then. You would have a family sepulcher. You'd have a family tomb, if you will. And you would take those that die, that you love, you would put them in them when they died, or put them in there. And then when they, after they had, again, turned back to dust, they would go in and take the remains, which are only the bones, put them in a container, an ossuary, and they would move them to the back of the tomb. And then when the next family member died, you would simply go in there and put them in there. And they said, hey, use one of ours. You know, that's okay. We'll be happy to give it to you because, again, we respect you and you're a prince in the land. And again, it shows how they viewed Abraham, what his testimony was. They saw the hand of God on him. They realized that he was a prince in the land, and they were giving him that honor. But Abraham didn't want a temporary tomb. You see, the only one I know of that needed a tomb for a weekend was Jesus Christ.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.